Does God work through children to help others? Do children have a vocation? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February is How Can I Help? God's Calling for Kids. It's a great book for children ages 4 through 8 and only costs $7.99. How Can I Help? Is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can check out How Can I Help? God's Calling for Children at issuesetc.org. There's a truly terrible story coming out of Nigeria from Reuters. Gunmen of an Islamic group, Boko Haram, entered a boarding school and in the end killed 29 of the students there, all of them boys, oddly enough. Many of those who died while the building was burned to the ground. They died in the fire, not just from the gunman's bullets. It looks like Islam knows no race or nationality. Joining us to talk about this story and to take it apart, understand it better in terms of its Islamic roots, Robert Spencer, director of Jihad Watch, author of numerous books on Islam, including his latest, Did Muhammad Exist? And Not Peace, But a Sword. Robert, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Todd. Happy to be here.
Usually when we're talking with you, it's Syria, Egypt, Iran, Iraq, Saudi Arabia. Today it's Nigeria. To me it looks like it's the kind of the bloodthirst of radical Islam knows no race or nationality.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, Todd. This is an ideologically based movement. It is based on certain core beliefs that are taught in, that are based on the Quran, based on the teachings of Muhammad, the prophet of Islam, that taught universally within Islam, within the Muslim countries, so that you were not going to find just that in the Middle East there's this virulent and violent strain. You're going to find it, unfortunately, among Muslims in all countries, including in the United States. Obviously, there will be others who do not follow this perspective. Unfortunately, so far, they have been ineffective in trying to rein in their more violent brethren.
Okay, one of the odd details of the story touched upon by the Reuters coverage of it was that of the 29 pupils that died either by the gunman's bullets or in the fire, some of them burned to ashes, only boys were killed, no girls were touched. Can you explain that?
Well, there are probably two main reasons for that. One is that they consider themselves to be fighting a war. The Nigerian Boko Haram movement is dedicated to setting up an Islamic State in Nigeria. And so they probably consider in the first place that this was an act of war. Their name, Boko Haram, it's actually the unofficial name. Their real name is the Movement for Proselytizing and Jihad, which is obviously clearly grounding what they're doing in Islam. But Boko Haram means basically books bad, books forbidden, or Western education is sinful. And so they consider that these boys who were going to this school are combatants in a war that they are fighting, and they're on the other side. So they kill the combatants only. Also, there is in the Quran the idea that you can take possession of women who are captured in warfare and have them as slave girls. This is sanctioned in the Quran, chapter 4, verse 3, and elsewhere. And so it may be that they wanted to keep the girls for that purpose, unfortunately.
So how would you describe, I mean, Africa is an incredibly large place. There are many countries, many more languages and cultures that are working in there. How is it that Islam seems to find its most virulent forms there, especially in sub-Saharan Africa?
Well, this is all spreading from a movement that started essentially in Saudi Arabia with the Wahhabi movement that is actually a lot older than most people think. It goes back to the 18th century. Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab was an Islamic reformer who lived in the time of George Washington. And he said that a lot of what was passing for Islam in the world was not authentic, and that one of the things that had to be recovered by Muslims was the idea of jihad warfare against unbelievers. Now, in a lot of places like in Africa, in Central Asia, there had taken root a cultural form of Islam that had downplayed jihad and a lot of these other aspects of Islam. But there has been a movement now for several hundred years since the late 18th century to reassert what the Wahhabis say is the forgotten aspects of Islam, including jihad. And they go into areas like Nigeria, where there's this cultural form of Islam, Somalia and elsewhere, and they challenge the local Muslims and say, look, you're not living authentic Islam. The Quran says you should be doing this, and you're not doing it. And so they get recruits on that basis, and they're able to crowd out the cultural Islam that had taken root there and had been dominant up to this time.
Can you explain to me, because this seems counterproductive. I mean, if you just have kind of the cold calculation of military strategy, the last thing you want to do is go around killing people's kids. That's not the way to gain the will of the populace. It is a way to scare the living daylights out of the populace. What's the goal here in killing school children?
Well, Todd, it's to scare the living daylights out of the populace. You really put it perfectly right there. The Quran says that the believers should strike terror into the hearts of the unbelievers and make use of the steeds of war in order to do that. This is chapter 8, verse 60. And so if your job before God, your duty before God, is to strike terror into the hearts of the enemies of God, so-called, then what way but better way to do it than by an attack like this?
So what if we've watched other countries where this has progressed even beyond stuff like this, is it a terrorist state that they're aiming at? A state that is able to subdue the population purely out of fear of physical, forceful retribution by armed thugs?
Well, yeah, essentially. It's not, strictly speaking, a terrorist state, but it's one that certainly rules by fear. The Sharia, the Islamic law, is essentially a law of fear. It is based on fear. I mean, after all, the punishments, the draconian punishments that we all know, the stoning for adultery, the amputation of the hands for theft, the death penalty for those who leave Islam, all these things that we would consider to be barbaric, even if we agree with the moral principle behind the moral principle that is being enforced. The thing is that creates this whole environment of fear that women, for example, are afraid to go out of the house without permission from the male guardian because they'll be whipped, they'll be beaten, you know, and if they're seen alone with a man that is not a relative, then they'll be accused of adultery and stoned to death, even if they never touched him. And this kind of thing, it's a whole culture of fear. And so, yes, the terror goes hand in hand with that. They use the terror to establish it, and then they rule by fear. That's what Islamic law is.
So it sounds to me like what we're looking at here is in the various countries of Islam, based upon what you said before, where Islam, in the various countries of Africa, where Islam has taken root in a milder, more kind of attenuated form, the radical Islamists view this as a place where the seeds of their ideas can begin to sprout in country after country.
Oh, yeah. They can show themselves to be the authentic Islam and defeat this, what they consider to be a heretical and apostate form. I mean, just today in Somalia, we saw the leader of the Al-Shabaab group that was behind that mall massacre in Kenya, and he was saying that we don't just go and blow a place up or fire bullets aimlessly. There's a lot of intelligence before an operation. We only attack a place when we are sure the people in there are the apostates, the Christians, and those that support them. Now, apostates, as far as he's concerned, are these cultural Muslims who don't hold the same view of Islam that he does.
Real quick, with only about 30 seconds, what's your projection for places like Nigeria and elsewhere in Africa?
It's going to get worse, Todd. It's going to get much worse. The Nigerian, there were some analysts just yesterday who acknowledged that the Boko Haram group is actually more powerful than the Nigerian government. And the Nigerian government can't stop them at this point. And so there's just going to be more of this and essentially civil war in Nigeria.
Robert Spencer is director of Jihad Watch. He's author of numerous books on Islam, including his latest, Does Muhammad Exist? And Not Peace, But a Sword. You'll find a link to Jihad Watch at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Robert, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
I'm very excited to looking online at the registrants for the upcoming summer's issues, et cetera, making the case conference to see a group of people already registering early for this conference. Last year, we started this thing with fairly low expectations. We had a great lineup of guests, and our listeners completely blew out our expectations in terms of their attendance and enthusiasm for the issues, et cetera, making the case conference. This summer, we've got a great lineup again, and we hope to outdo last summer's conference in every possible way. You can find out more about the issues, etc., making the case conference. It's the 13th and 14th of June right here in Collinsville, Illinois, at our website, issuesetc.org. Look for the logo, click on that. You'll find everything you need to know and a way to register early online. Chris Roseborough, Fighting for the Faith, will be there. Alvin Schmidt will be speaking there also. And we'll be having, Pastor Will Whedon and Matthew Harrison and Craig Parton as our keynote speakers. It's going to be a great conference. Issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues, Etc., Making the Case Conference logo. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as His baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
Does God work through children to help others? Do children have a vocation? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February is How Can I Help? God's Calling for Kids. It's a great book for children ages 4 through 8 and only costs $7.99. How Can I Help? Is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can check out How Can I Help? God's Calling for Children at issuesetc.org.